His name was Simon. A little bit later, he's going to meet up with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus is going to say to him, "You're going to be called Cephas." The word Cephas is the Greek. In the Greek, it's translated stone. And so therefore, Simon, who's going to be called Peter, Petros, meaning stone, Simon is going to be a real block, a real stone, a real firm foundation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you begin to look at this guy, we're going to see him in several different lights, and I'm going to do again something that's kind of unfair for you guys. I'm going to ask you to think fast. Okay? You're going to have to think fast. But before I go into watching Simon Peter developing right before your eyes, I want to ask you a question. What have you experienced this morning? Back off. This is commercial time. What have you experienced this morning? I'm talking about in the worship center. Since the time that you walked in that door, what have you experienced? What's going on around you? Yeah. Worship? Yeah. What's going on around you? Have you already seen how that your mind could have been impacted in multiple ways already? Sometimes we go through motions and we don't pick up on what's happening because we're in such a speed-oriented, move it, Pepsi generation, do it now, get out. But you walked in and you started to feel the relationships of people who are around you. You heard a message in song. The number of people who are now singing on the platform today beats far the superior of those numbers in most churches. The average number of those participating on an even morning worship service would be about 10%, and we had about 25% of our congregation leading in worship. You all of a sudden, you heard a message coming from Brother Jim, a message from Jeremiah. You heard that message that said, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He hears from you." You were prayed over. Then you were prayed over again. Not by accident. Did you hear the music that was going on? And all of a sudden, the different talents that are being brought in. Where did you kick in? And in your participation in this. And then all of a sudden, you heard a message coming from a farmer that could literally impact the lives of many people. I was watching on TED about those who are on death row. 80% of the people who are on death row are there as a result, he said, before they ever stood. You give me the name and I could tell you I could tell you 80% of the background. 80% of the background of those people on death row are coming from those broken homes, without a father, teenager, kid, getting in trouble, going through the juvenile system. He said, I could name it because it keeps repeating itself. But he says the key to this thing is not in stage 4, but in stage 1, before they go through all the court systems, reaching and changing people's lives. When you came in this morning, you had the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to change your life. You saw where you could jump in. Even with the aha, you saw how that people were being fed. If you would have been here yesterday, and many of you were, you would have seen how just an anthill moving, so many moving parts. But you couldn't have been within the walls of hearing the stories of the people being told. I got to hear a few of them, or my wife was in one of those. But so many stories of people who are hurting, needing the touch of somebody that says, I care. It's happening all around us. And we must ask the Spirit of the Lord, where do I kick in? Where do I plug in? Some of you are already plugged in multiple places. God wants every one of us to be plugged in somewhere. Everybody needs one job before anybody has two jobs. Everybody needs to be plugged in somewhere. Because if we don't, the number of death row will continue. But if we do, there will be some of those who will not go through the prison system. And you can say, all that does, yes, we've had several of our members go through the prison system. Members, affiliates, people who've gone through these doors, who have hit now in the prison system, and will go to the prison systems. We have such a big responsibility right here, right now, to make a difference in the lives of the people that we have. And time is so short. We must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit around us. For instance, a guy named Simon. Simon was sensitive to the Holy Spirit because they had just gone through a period of time in which Jesus had fed 5,000 people. The crowds were wanting to make Jesus king, not ask Him, force Him. Take Him without His. And so Jesus dispensed the crowd and He went up into the hills to pray, and He told His disciples, y'all get in the boat and you get gone. And He did not give them any time to linger, nor would He allow the crowds, the crowds and the magnitude and the what was going on there. He sent them on their way. He went up to the mountain to pray. The winds were contrary to the boat. He told them to go across the Sea of Galilee. About 3 o'clock in the morning, they see a man come walking across the waters. They think it's a ghost. They begin to cry out, it's a ghost. To all of a sudden, Jesus said, it's I, don't be afraid. Simon, who was called Peter, the rock, Cephas, said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, come. Simon Peter stepped out of the boat, and the Scripture records that he was walking on water. Now, I know that in our minds we like to fast forward to that and say, yes, he started doubting. Yes, he went down. I'm not going there. Yes, he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus reached down and saved him. Yes, that occurred. Where I am going, Simon Peter stepped out. He walked on water. Christ is calling us today to step out. To step out. Is it in a garden? Is it giving food away? Is it in a closed ministry? Is it in a backyard club? How many apartment complexes do we have right here that God may lay it upon the hearts of some to say, we're going to keep somebody off death road, and we're going to get somebody into the kingdom because of time, effort, and yes, it may be Kool-Aids and cookies and telling Bible stories. But you know what? That can change people. Some, God may be calling some here this morning right now for sweat equity. Y'all know what sweat equity is? I don't own anything, but I got a hoe. And I can go out there and I can hoe. Do you have a plan? God's calling you to step out. Simon was a fisherman by trade. Probably his father was a fisherman. And he would catch, I found out last night watching a story on Simon, he would catch tilapia. And when I went over to Israel, they brought me, I told her I wanted a St. Peter's fish, and they brought me St. Peter's fish. And I didn't know what a tilapia was back then, so it's a St. Peter's fish. They brought it, eyes and all, looking at me. I mean, they brought the whole fish. And yes, I ate it. Glad to eat it. Now I know what it is the day that I was eating. And it was good. He was a fisherman. He was a fisherman. But now, right now, you've got to ask yourself, what am I training to be? What do I want to be? Some of us say, what do I want to be when I grow up? I don't know, Scott. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a professional fisherman? What's it going to take? Well, let's look at another slide here. If you're going to be a professional fisherman, now listen, I'm going to tell you a story But you've got to connect the dots. Do y'all know what I mean by connecting the dots? Do you ever play the dot game? Yeah, dot game's a great game. You got to connect the dots and make the squares. And what I'm about to tell you is say, well, I don't need to know about how to become a professional fisherman. I want to know, what are you doing with your Christian walk? I want to know if you want to be the best that you want. I want to know where you are on your Christian journey. And so many things, because you're part of the human race, so many things parallel each other. So look at this parallel. If you're going to become a professional fisherman, you've got to start small. In other words, you got to go to the local ponds and the rivers and the creeks. And you need to find how to catch fish. What are you going to do in your Christian walk? Do you start small? Yeah, next slide. Next thing you need to do, you need to join a fishing club. A fishing club, because you're going to learn how to fish, where to fish, and a lot of people that are going along that line. So therefore, all of a sudden, you say, I'm going to join a fishing club, and I'm going to be around other people who enjoy and like to talk fishing. How does that relate to the church? Are you going to join a small group? Are you going to be around people who are focusing in on what you're focusing in on? And their priority is going to be what your priority is? Next slide. Learn to master a species. Do y'all know that you don't fish for catfish the same way you fish for bass? Man, y'all are educated. You got to learn a species. You need to learn what they want, what they desire, what they'll hit, what they'll bite, so you can catch the fish. How does that work in the Christian faith? Do you study people around you? Do you study... Is there a given group of people that you really want to focus your attention on? Is there somebody, is there some group? Maybe it's young people. Maybe it's people in the apartments. Maybe it's farmers. Like we heard last week, maybe it's truck drivers. Learn a species when you're fishing. Learn a given group. Learn all about them. You say, well, I've been to Sunday school. Hey, what goes on in Sunday school? I was talking to some folks this week and say, in their Sunday school class, well, they get in there and they start running rabbits and all they do is just talk and then they have 5 minutes of the lesson. That's not Sunday school. That's gossip. When you go to where you go, and the small groups, y'all going to have a challenge, man. Y'all can get in there and talk about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, or else you can find out what God has to say. It's going to be very important in the small groups that all of a sudden you get in there, you get out of business. When it's time to play, you play big. But when it's time to work, you work big. Learn the species. Next slide. Understand certain species like certain baits. Understand the importance of fishing line. Did y'all know there's a difference? If you're a professional fisherman, you do. Next slide. Sign up for a small tournament. In other words, you get out of your comfort zone and now all of a sudden you're beginning to get with other people in other places. Maybe some of you need to go on a mission trip. I can guarantee you that Todd Gibson is not the same person that he was. Because he went on a mission trip. He went over there and said, I want to work from sunlight. You know this is true, Tracy. You know it's true. He said, I want to work from the sun up to sundown, and I'm going to carry 1,000 blocks. Well, don't give me those kids. He's not the same person today. He told me last week, he said, wherever we go, there's got to be kids. Things change. Learn from others. Next slide. Find a professional fisherman. There's always somebody good at what you want to do. Find a professional. You need to lock up with somebody that is concerned about souls. That farming, yes, I want to farm, but I want to farm to share Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear this man? I want to farm. I want to share my talent that God gave me for Jesus Christ. Learn from others. Get in the boat with them. In fact, in the boat, in the professional boats, what you find there in most of the cases in professional fishing, you find a professional fisherman who owns a boat and you find an amateur in the boat. Get in with somebody. Learn how to fish. for men. Next slide. Got to get endorsements. If you're going to be a professional fisherman, yeah. Go to your local tackle and bait stores and sell yourself and let them know that you, and they may not give you money, but they may give you baits. And then you got to win many local tournaments if you're going to be a professional fisherman. What is God saying about us? We got to get out, folks. We got to have some winning. Let me let you in a little secret. There was a tournament won yesterday. How many people were fed? 310. How many people came here and were prayed over? 117. Deborah, did you pray with anybody? Was that your job? Did you pray with anybody? No. What did you do? Put food in the cars. Wow. You see, she didn't pray with a person, but she was part of the winning team. Christy, did you pray with anybody? No. You were part of signing people in. You were part of the winning team. Jim, did you pray with anybody? You are part of the winning team. You see how that works? People need to see winners. That's what they need to see. People need to know Christian people are winning. And we are. Next slide. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Nate? You see, you think I was just giving this to you just for inference, just to fill in the blanks? What are you going to do? You see, now you got to start thinking upon yourself. Is he talking to me? He may call me out. What am I going to do? Am I going to learn from this? Well, let's go to another slide. Next slide. Okay, Scott. Do you recognize this? What do you do to be an effective teacher? What do you do? Don't alienate Christians? Does that sound a little familiar? What does it mean? What does this word mean when you're teaching? Here's where the gospel comes in, and let's open our Bibles too. And here's why this matters when you walk out these doors. You remember that? Good. You passed the test. Repeat them, Michelle. All seven. No, don't do it. Don't do it. All of a sudden, this is part of the block that when you come to worship service, you don't just come to hear and sing. You come to respond. And let it become a learning situation. Next slide. What are you going to do? When you learn some of these principles now, you have two choices. You can do something with them or you can do nothing with them. Most of what you hear today, 95% of what you hear today, 3 days from now, is going to be forgotten. I know that. But what are you going to do with what you do have? If you walk away, one principle, one concept that changes your life or keeps somebody off death row, God's going to be glorified. What's your plan? And if you don't have a plan, then it's time to get one. You can be a professional fisherman like Simon Peter was a professional fisherman. Or you can get on the circuit. Or you can learn how to be. Next slide. 5 steps in becoming a journeyman plumber. Now how you ladies want to be plumbers? Do you know there's money in that? And did you know there's a lot of people who need to learn today this trade? Because there's not that many plumbers. Scott, are there that many plumbers out there? There's really not. Is there room for some more young people to be trained in plumbing? Definitely some more room. Now I'm giving you 5 things right here, and then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to apply these best I can. So you got to stay with me, because I'm going to be asking you, what are you going to do with this? And you can say, okay, preacher, let's get down to the Word. Oh, brother, we're going to. You're going to be a journeyman. Get your high school diploma. That requires education, doesn't it? Go back to that other slide. Back up one. You got to join a plumbing apprenticeship program. You know what that means? Yeah, you're going to join up with somebody who is a plumber, and you're going to work underneath them. Okay, you're going to learn how to become a plumber. Thirdly, then you're going to complete the required number of classroom and on-the-job training hours. You know how many that normally is? 2,000. 2,000 hours. Under the apprenticeship, it's going to take you 4 to 5 years. Three to five years to be, I think it's 4 to 5 years under an apprenticeship to become a master plumber. And then you're going to take a plumbing exam, and then you're going to get your state journey plumber's tournament license. Plumber's, not tournament, plumber's license. Okay, all right. Now, y'all got that. That's really spiritual, isn't it? Okay, all right. I know that just blessed your heart. Now, I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Some of you young people need to get up and go to work. And you need to realize that it's going to take 4 to 5 years for you to learn a trade. Yeah. And in some of us may need to relearn some trades. And it may take 4 or 5 years. Oh, wait a minute now. Some of us want to become Christians and we want to be the very best, and it's going to take you 1 hour on Sunday morning. Fifty-two Sunday mornings, 52 hours, and I'm ready to go. If it takes 2,000 hours for a plumber on the job training, that means what we need to do in the course of church life is we need to begin to invest. We need to get a plan. And we need to start working that plan. Each of us. Each individual. Kids, youth, young adults, older adults. What plan are you working on? Okay, how does this thing fit? Now, I chose the plumber, the five steps in plumbing, a journeyman plumber, for the life of Simon Peter, who was a professional fisherman. And the reason why I chose this is that when you walk away, some of you are going to say, man, I want to be a plumber. And I'm going to say, you missed the point. I want to walk with Jesus. And here's a track to run on. So I'm going to be relating this element of the plumber here. No, I'm not. Time got me. I'm sorry. You ready to think fast? Next slide. How am I going to be a plumber? Simon Peter timeline. All of a sudden, Simon is born in B.C. 1. B.C. 1, he's born to Jonah. And I apologize that I'm not going to be taking all that I'm reading out of the book, but what I did quote you in the opening stories, it comes specifically out of the book. And I wanted to reach it to you exactly where it came from, out of Matthew chapter 4, 14. And I wanted you to read about in verse 22 and following. Please go home and take that. Let it be a part of your life. But I want you to see how some things are connecting. B.C. 1, Simon Peter is now born into the world. He comes into the world and he learns the trade of his father. During the course of time, around A.D. 25 to A.D. 27, he meets this beautiful young woman and she's called Mrs. Simon. I don't know what her name was. Bible doesn't give us what her name is. And so therefore, he is having a most wonderful life. He gets up in the morning and he goes out and he catches tilapia and other different kind of fish so he can feed his wife. It's very possible they had children. They don't mention that, but it's very possible they had children. But he had a reason to get up out of bed and go. So in other words, get your high school diploma. Get the basics. Study. Get to know. All of a sudden, this guy named Simon Peter meets Jesus. His brother Andrew is the one who comes along to him. And his brother Andrew says, look, we have found the Messiah. You got to come. Simon Peter, he follows his brother Andrew, and they go and they meet Jesus. Next slide. You're going to join a plumbing team, right? And you're going to become under apprenticeship, right? So all of a sudden, we see now that Simon Peter is moving from that introduction to Jesus, and he's got his high school education, and now he's beginning to learn the trade. Listen, folks, it's more to knowing Jesus Christ than just being saved. Being saved is extremely important. Heaven and hell. But folks, if all you got is your fire insurance, you're probably not going to heaven. Because you too have to become an apprentice under Jesus Christ. He calls us to service. Simon Peter comes along. He meets this guy named Jesus. And Simon Peter invites Jesus to come home with him. When he gets there, his mother-in-law is sick of a fever. And they tell Jesus, and Jesus goes in there, and he takes her by the hand, and Jesus heals her. She gets up, and she starts serving them. Simon Peter. A few days later, he goes out, he's fishing. He's been fishing all day, and he comes into the house, and he comes in and to the shore, and he hadn't caught anything, so they clean their nets, and they're ready to go, but all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the side of the bank. He shows up on the side of the bank. Multitudes started gathering around him. They come up there, and he starts talking to them. So many people, he looked at two boats that were not being used for fishing, and he got into one of them. It was Simon Peter's boat, and he said, would you push me out just a little bit? And he pushes him out just a little bit, and he starts teaching the people. Finally, though, he says to Simon Peter, cast your net in the water. And Simon Peter said, Lord, I fished all night, but because you asked me, I'll do it. He cast his net, and they had so many fish that he had to get his partners to help him get the fish in. He had to call another boat with James and John in. And they called the boat. They called the other boats just to get the fish in because their boat was sinking because it had so many fish in it. He begins to learn. Next slide. You've got to complete the required classroom. Because inside of this, it's on-the-job training, what Simon Peter, not only now has he been introduced to Jesus Christ, not only now is he joining up with the team because Jesus said these words to him. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And when they followed him, now he's following him and he's beginning to see what else is happening. On the job training. Classroom instruction, yes. On the job training. All of a sudden, Jesus sees this little girl. And they said the girl was dead. Jesus told the parents, don't be afraid. He made everybody to leave. Everybody in the house knew the little girl was dead. They started ridiculing Jesus. Simon Peter saw people talking bad about Jesus. He moved them out, took Simon Peter, James, John, and the parents in, and he says to the little girl, Talitha, Talitha, come on. Little girl, I say to you, arise. He takes the little girl and the spirit returns to that dead body and that little girl rises up. On the job training. And it's that same story when they watch Jesus walking on the water. Simon Peter says, if it's you, Lord, if it's you, call me. Jesus said, come. And he stepped out on the water. He started walking on the water and then all of a sudden he realized the waves are big. They're sloshing. People can't walk on water. He takes his eyes off Jesus and he goes down. And he cries out, Jesus, on the job training, what you find out, sometimes you take your eyes off and sometimes you too are going to go down. And sometimes you too are going to have to cry out, Lord, save me again. And he will. But that's what happens when you're on the job. Next slide. All of a sudden, this journey is getting ready to take his final examination. Simon Peter is now approaching. It is now AD 33. And Jesus Christ tells them that He is about to be taken, and He's about to be whipped, and He's about to be killed, and on the third day, He's going to rise again. Simon Peter is predicted. Simon Peter said, Lord, doesn't matter who it is, they'll never make me back down or stumble. Nobody can make me. Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows, you're going to die three times. Here's the exam. Jesus Christ is fixing to go to the cross. He asked three guys to stay with Him, stay awake, and pray. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. What did these guys do in the Garden of Gethsemane? Went to sleep. Is He passing this examination? All of a sudden, the guards come up, and they take Jesus, and they reach out, and one of them says, Lord, do You want us to fight Him? And before the words got out of their mouth, Simon Peter took a sword, drew it, and he headed toward the servant. His name was Marcius, and he cut off his ear. Jesus said, put up your sword, Simon. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. Jesus reached down and took that ear that had been cut off, put it back on that guy's head, and healed it. Simon Peter and the rest of them took off running. Did he pass the examination? All of a sudden, now, Jesus is there before the court. Jesus is being tried. He's out warming his hands by the fire, but he can see Jesus. A little girl walks up and said, you're one of them. He said, no, I'm not. I don't even know Him. Another little girl walks up and said, no, I don't even know who you're talking about. And the people standing around Him said, yeah, you got to be a Galilean, because just by the way you talk, your voice, we know you're a Galilean. No, I'm not. And he started swearing and taking oath and said, no, I'm not. At that time, the rooster crowed. Simon looked at the eyes of Jesus. Jesus looked at him. He remembered. Scripture says he went out and he wept bitterly. Jesus is crucified, put in the grave. On the third day he rose from the grave. Some women started coming out early in the morning and saying, hey, Jesus is alive! And you know what these guys, these professionals did? They didn't believe her. Simon, Peter, and John, they took off running and looked at the tomb, and they saw the tomb was empty. But they still didn't believe. Did he pass the examination? After this, sometime that day, Jesus appears to Simon. One on one. Did he pass the examination? Next slide. Taking the journeyman's plumbing exam, all of a sudden now, days down the road, he's asked the question. This is about 40 days into the picture, after Jesus has been raised, just before he goes back up, transcends up into heaven. Jesus sits there and asks, Simon, do you love me? Here's the examination. This is part of it. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know. Three times he asked him, do you love me? And you know what he said? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And then he told Simon Peter, this is what's going to happen. You're going to die. But he said, follow me. Next slide. So you want to get your plumber's license? You can say, well, Simon Peter failed the test. Oh, no. He didn't fail. Just because he didn't perform exactly right, he did not fail. Listen, folks, there's a lot of us who've done a lot of things, but that does not mean we failed the test. We went through the steps. But now we've got the license. Now it's time to go to work. AD 33 to AD 48, Simon leads 11 disciples and he calls upon one to replace Judas Iscariot. Day of Pentecost occurs and Simon Peter preaches and those that with him and 3,000 people were saved. He walks along, he heals a lame man. He raises a dead little girl. He leads a Samaritan to salvation. Ultimately, he leads a Gentile soldier to be saved. The whole book of Acts is a record of many of the things that I accomplished by that fisherman. Oh, he didn't lose. He went out and he did what he was trained to do. Next slide. You may say, what does a plumber make? I don't know. I've never talked to Scott about what he makes. But it's around $25 to $30 an hour, $25 to $35, I think, nationwide. When you're a journeyman, it's only half that much, $15 to $20 an hour nationwide. But you may say, now, I've trained for Jesus Christ. What is the reward? And Jesus told Simon Peter one day, he says, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present world and in the world to come, life everlasting. Did you get that? When you work for Jesus Christ, you receive in this present world, but also you receive life everlasting. Next slide. What's your plan? What's your plan? You came here this morning and you may not say, well, I'm not ready to do a plan. Well, I'm telling you, get ready. I'm asking you, what is your plan? I don't know how to go about it. Then take the notes. Be like a professional fisherman. Take the notes. Follow the same degrees as a master plumber. Take the notes and say, now this morning I commit to the Lord to plot the chart for me to be a master plumber, for me to be a Christian for Jesus Christ. And if it's saving a kid from death row, if it's feeding a grandmother in an apartment turnip greens, if it's feeding your neighbor food because they can't afford it, because they had to make a decision whether to buy medicine or buy food, and you fed them. If it's clothing your neighbor, if it's a backyard Bible club, if it's teaching youth, if it's teaching college career, if it's teaching adults, if it's singing, whatever God says to you, plot it out. And step out of the boat. Are you ready? Are you ready? Next week, we're going to kick off. And there's a lot of people that got to step out in the 40 days of transformation. You're going to be asked to step out. So when you leave here today, what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to plot your course. That's what I'm asking. And if you didn't get it this morning, go home this afternoon, spend a little time and say, I don't know what he's talking about. But about this much of it, I do know. And now, I'm going for it. And if you're willing to make that commitment this morning, then I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Some of you need to go back to step one and get your high school diploma. Or, in this case, some of you need to go to step one and meet Jesus Christ personally. Because you can never be a plumber without your education. You're not going to be a Christian without Christ. That's step one. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's step one. And then you can follow your pattern through those steps. Okay? Are you with me? You with me? Is that a worthy challenge? I think it is. So if you want to give your life this morning, I want you to step out and just come meet me or Brother Jim down front. We're on both sides of the room. Just grab one of us and say, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say, and he'll lead you. Jim knows how to. He's led so many people to the Lord. He's right there. He's ready to talk to you about Jesus. Some of you want to go to the prayer altars because you're struggling over this very thing that I'm talking about, and you don't know where to start. I'm going to ask you just to go to the prayer altar and say, God, I don't know where to start. And just ask Him. How are we going to do it this morning? We're going to do it during a video. I'm going to pray. Video is going to crank up. You're going to remain seated this morning. But you're seated for a purpose. Some of you are going to have to step out of your seat. God calls you to that this morning. You do it. Some of you are going to have to step out. And yes, people are going to be sitting down, and everyone that's here is going to see you step out. They are. But when you step out from where you are, you're stepping to where He wants you to be. Some of you are going to be asking God right now where you sit, Lord, show me one, step one in my life. And He will show you. I believe the Holy Spirit will move upon you right now to make that movement. Step out. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we understand that we've got to step out, Lord, from our jobs, from our families, from our comfort zone, from our places of just trying to get through and just get by. And God, we know that in the kingdom that You're not looking for people just to get by. God, we know You're looking for people to be master plumbers, to be master Christians, out there doing the work. So Lord, as You're talking to people right now, as Your Spirit is stirring people up, God, I'm just asking them to respond the way that You want them to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.